warfare one American at a time.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So on this week's episode of the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we honor the passing of a major figure in UFO research by the name of Bud Hopkins. Bud Hopkins was someone who had spent many years gaining fame, fortune, I don't know, as an abstract artist. His passing as a result of liver cancer and other problems was noted by a large bio and obituary in the New York Times.
Yeah.
And you think someone who is considered prominent in UFO research meriting that, it was a pretty fair article, as a matter of fact. They mentioned his artistic background, how he got involved in UFO abduction research, and some of the conclusions he'd reached. Now, I have to tell you, I didn't know Bud Hopkins all that well. He's been on the Paracast, I guess, 3 or 4 times. I do know that he was ill the last couple of times he was on the show. I did, as a courtesy, excise all the coughing he did when he was talking. He'd frequently break into bouts of coughing. I didn't want to do that to him, you know.
Right.
So I cleaned up the recording. And just out of respect, whether you agree with him or not. I never met him. I talked to him on the phone once or twice, exchanged some correspondence. That was about it. Didn't have a chance to meet him in person. And, you know, when the Intruders Foundation became active in New York City, I was already living in another part of the world, didn't have an opportunity. But, Chris, you had met Bud Hopkins from time to time.
You know, over the years, at various conferences, I would, you know, sit down and speak with him, usually, you know, with other groups of people. I never had any one-on-one time with him. But one thing that I always noticed, that he was just such a graceful guy and just a real gentleman. He just had an aura of just being a nice guy. And it's real difficult to disagree with someone in terms of the whole abduction phenomenon. Now, of course, I have major reservations about the whole subject, and of course the often mentioned hypnotic regression scenario. But one thing that I must say is Bud was just an easygoing guy, very sweet, very funny, had a twinkle in his eye, and I could see why so many people who he helped over the years, hundreds and hundreds of people, really fell in love with the guy, just because he was just such a calming presence, I think, in their lives, and just was able to really help people. And the one thing that you cannot take away, I don't care what you think about the abduction phenomenon, you cannot take away the fact that Bud Hopkins helped hundreds of people go through, you know, regardless of what you think they went through. I think these people did experience legitimate trauma in their lives. And Bud was there for it, and he's going to be very missed in the field. And I must say, I was very impressed with Leslie Kane's ability to kind of soldier on a couple of shows back, and you know, she was able to get through this latest round of interviews. You know, being very, very close to Bud, of course, as many of our listeners know. You know, he was going into hospice right about the time that we were talking with her, and you know, again, I can't wait to do a roundtable and bring some of his closest friends on the show and learn more about this giant in the field, really. And another sad note that I was informed of this week was the impending hospice care of Lucius Farish.
Lucius Farish?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I knew Lucius years and years ago. Such a nice guy.
He's also he's not really doing well. Of course, Lou was the originator of the infamous Eureka Springs conference every April. My favorite conferences out of all that I've attended over the years, I went, I think, 4 or 5 years in a row. You know, he had the UFO news clipping service for many years, which was an invaluable aid to researchers and investigators such as myself prior to the internet. But it's just really sad. We're seeing, you know, a lot of the old guard are starting to check out, and we need to acknowledge the incredible amount of work and presence that many of these individuals brought to the field.
It's unfortunate, I think, that Bud Hopkins, in his final months on this planet, came under criticism from an ex-spouse. And we understand that anytime you get involved with marriages and divorces, things get emotional. But I also understand that nobody is free of legitimate criticism. You know, the methodology of investigating abductions is controversial. Some people do not believe in hypnotic regression. I know they also, some of these abduction researchers, they do some of their sessions by telephone. And I have concerns about that personally, that how could you possibly examine someone's reactions if you hypnotize them by telephone? The problem is that people like a Bud Hopkins or a Dr. David Jacobs, they get involved because professional mental health therapists are only available in a limited capacity. So they're trying to fill the gaps. Laymen trying to fill the gaps because professionals will never go in that direction. Some do, some advise these people. I think the only way to really judge the worth of what these people are doing and have done is to actually look at the research, look at the methodology. Let's discuss the methods. Let's find better methods. If people are being impacted negatively as a part of these examinations for possible abductions, okay, we've got to stop that. We've got to fix it. But we can't fix the problems by screaming at each other. By writing hate material, by expressing hate, lurid rumors, that kind of thing, that doesn't help us get to the bottom of UFO abductions. I mean, just as an example, Chris and I made a couple of cracks about someone involved in one of the abduction controversies, maybe like two remarks. There have been thousands and thousands of words written about those two remarks, criticizing, demonizing myself and Chris. Because of an offhanded comment.
They thought it was you. It was actually me.
That's right. You know, they're not going to apologize for this. But how can you solve the problem if all you do is scream and yell at people?
No.
And I'm not going to answer them. I've answered them a little bit with a little bit of what I hope is logic and reason, agree or disagree. But if they can't just sit back, take a deep breath, and look over the situation and realize there are lots of people around the world who have been profoundly hurt, profoundly damaged by having an abduction-related experience. We've got to find out why. We are not going to find out why if all we see is screaming and yelling and charges and countercharges. And this doesn't mean I support anybody's methods. I think I've said on the show and in the forums that I don't necessarily buy some of the methods that are used, but they're trying. Let's find the best way to figure out why people claim they're abducted. If it is ET, is it out of our control? We're going to explore this question on future episodes of the PowerCast. We're even planning an abduction roundtable to completely discuss the issue. Today, however, we segue to a UFO Fortean researcher named of Andrew Colvin. He's the author of a book called Mothman Speaks. Tell us more.
Well, Andy, I haven't met Andy. I'm looking forward to this show because I've wanted to meet and talk with him for some time since hearing him on Greg Bishop's show. And he grew up in the Point Pleasant region there of the Ohio River Valley and has for many years been fascinated with the whole Mothman scenario. And he's uncovered some very interesting information relating to high-tech industry in the area, and he's really done quite a bit of deep research into this whole scenario, and I think our listeners are going to learn a lot today.
We were just alerted to the fact that Andrew has a brand new UFO sighting to report, up-to-the-minute information, believe it or not.
With photographs.
Yeah. I'm waiting for this. This happened this past weekend, so as far as we know, nobody else knows about this case. You're going to hear it first. So the guest is Andrew Colvin. The book is The Mothman Speaks. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
I've got to tell you about this. GoToMeeting by Citrix, the way I meet online with my colleagues, has just added high-definition group video conferencing. It's called GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Now you can collaborate with anyone around the world face-to-face. And I've used GoToMeeting HD Faces because it's awesome. You see the facial expressions, and that can express so much more than words. And of course, the video quality is so clear and natural, it's got the highest resolution in the industry. Nothing compares. GoToMeeting with HD Faces will make your online meetings even more personal, engaging, and effective. Plus, it's so easy to use. All you need is an internet connection and a webcam. I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces. My listeners can try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code PODCAST. The promo code is PODCAST at GoToMeeting.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We have Andrew Colvin making his first appearance on the Paracast. He has a book out called The Mothman Speaks. And we'll talk about that and about what we know and don't know about the Mothman case about those other famous books out there, Mothman Prophecies, of course, and The Silver Bridge. But right now, you just told us a short time before we began to do this segment of the PowerCast, Andrew, that you had a UFO sighting this past weekend. What can you tell us about it?
Well, it was stunning. The only thing I've ever seen before was an orb. Surveillance drone or something flying out of Burbank, which I've blogged about. I believe it's on there, which was just a white object in the daytime. Looked like those things that I've heard that police, they use for surveillance and things. But this was completely different, and it really fits the some of the descriptions we've heard in the past, going back to the Kiel days, where you have a UFO that's changing shape, colors. We first saw it, it was just after dusk. We were camping up the top of Stevens Pass at the Grace Lakes, and I noticed a satellite going over, but it started zigzagging. It was with two other guys. My son was asleep in the tent, and they looked at it, and they're like, wow, you're right. They both work at Boeing, so they know aircraft. They're like, that can't be a normal satellite. And it passed all the way across the sky, went out north over the North Cascades. I started thinking about the Naval Station, because that was where I'd wanted to go to camp, but they wanted to go there, this other place, because there was fish. So it kind of disappeared over there, and then we talked about it for a while, and then they started getting ready to go to bed, and then bingo, I looked over there, and it was back again. Looked like it was coming back toward us, much brighter, and then it stopped. And we all watched it, got out our binoculars, I got the camera out, took a bunch of shots, and when I started looking at the photos, I was just amazed because it's changing shape. It's going from one object to several. It would do a pinwheel where you'd have a string of lights, and then they would spin. And I put photos up on my blog. It's 14enswest, fortenswest.com. Click on Washington State. You'll see them there. And at times it looks like, I really like the one toward the end that looks like an atom. It looks like all the electrons in an atom in one circular formation. We could tell it was changing colors and moving around, but until we looked at the photos, we couldn't really see just how, you know, dramatic it was.
Yeah, the fish shot looks like a string of multicolored Christmas lights. I mean, there's green, red, blue. There's everything in there. That's amazing.
We should remind our listeners how they can see these pictures. So would you describe specifically how to get on your site, Andrew, so our listeners can check the updates?
Yeah, it's called that site is called LOFI, League of Western Fortean Intermediatists. I guess if you put in LOFI, you would find it, but it's probably easier just to do Fortean's West, named after Charles Fort, and that's one word, .com, and you can see all the different, when you go to the main page, you'll see all the different states in the West, and each state has a director, and I'm the director of the Washington State area. So if you click on Washington State, you can see my stuff. If you click on Northern California, you'll see Adam Gorightly's. Southern California is Skyler, who started the site. And then some others. You know, there's New Mexico, which is Leslie Gunner's territory, and I think Regan Lee has Oregon. So those are all people that do good posts about different paranormal things that are happening.
You've got some good investigators on there.
It's a great site. I don't think it's that well known yet. It's not commercial. We don't have ads and stuff, so it's good for people that just want to check stuff out without having to deal with ads and stuff.
Cool. All right, well, I guess I have a new site I get to go diving into and checking out. I see Ken Thomas, Tim Beckley, Nick's on there, Nick Redfern, and Anthony Persons, Brad Steiger. Wow, you got quite a list there. This is a new resource for all our listeners out there. Dive in, folks, and take some notes.
Any other details about the sighting that we ought to know before we go on to Mothman?
No, nothing strange happened. We were expecting a Bigfoot to come across, and you were saying earlier that, or Gene was saying, or am I talking to Gene? I'm getting you guys confused.
Yeah, it was Chris, and it, my brother had quite an amazing encounter up in the same area.
Okay, yeah. You were saying that it's near Gold Bar, and you drive through there on the way to Stevens Pass.
Right. Just down the hill. Yep. You know, it's a real hotbed area for Bigfoot sightings, also UFO type reports. Some pretty interesting little people type sightings that have been reported in the area, and strange kind of crypto animals, oversized animals. Of course, I grew up in the Washington State area, further south, more towards Mount Rainier, but have spent quite a bit of time. In fact, I've hiked that entire Pacific Crest Trail section between Snoqualmie and Stevens Pass. And boy, I'll tell you, that's a remote area there.
Not easy. That's major mountain territory, and yep. You have to watch out for bears and all kinds
yep.
of things.
In hypothermia, we got caught in a sleet storm on the top of Dutch Miller Gap. I'll never forget that. It was very, very scary.
Yeah, I've been up there, and that is, we actually, I was camping with some guys. We were, I was with a guy who was a Buddhist monk who really believed he had grown up in Seattle, and he really believed in Bigfoot, and he kept saying we shouldn't sleep at the opening of this mine shaft. It was a horizontal mine shaft going into the mountain, because this is that's where Bigfoot, you know, hangs out. And I was credulous, and so I went ahead and slept there, and he begrudgingly slept there because it was the only flat place there was. And then in the middle of the night, we heard a ping of a rock coming down, and he just grabbed me and said, "Jump in." And we jumped in the hole of the mine, and then a rock slide came down and would have killed us. I mean, we literally escaped death by a couple of seconds. And
wow.
He swore that it was a Bigfoot that had done it. He was very spooked, and we left in the morning. But, you know, it was kind of hairy there for a while. We didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, even if you've been injured, that's not a part of the world that you want to be incapacitated in.
Yeah. He later died, and a friend of mine saw his ghost in her house in Ohio. That's Harriet, who figures prominently in The Mothman Speaks. She wrote a bunch of letters starting about 10 years ago after 9-1-1, when I realized that there had been a prophecy of 9-1-1 that Mothman had imparted to someone, and that I had been able to participate in.
Well, okay, this is the point where we should have a cliffhanger. A perfect cliffhanger. Mothman and 9/11. Andrew Colvin is our guest. He's author of The Mothman Speaks. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Neighbors, do you need to bring the final touches to your latest podcasts? Clean up the soundtrack of that holiday video. Mix together a few takes from your last jamming session. Process the audio files of the video game you're creating to sound just right. But look no further. Whatever audio-related task you're looking to perform, Amadeus Pro is the tool for you. It's the Swiss Army knife of sound editing. Go to HairerSoft.com. HairerSoft.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps, summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature, one person at a time.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're back with Andrew Colvin. The book is called The Mothman Speaks. Andrew, what does the Mothman say, or what did he or it say about 9/11?
Well, all I can say is that I had a friend who lived in this house, next to Harriet, actually, and he said the Mothman had been visiting him, and also aliens and flying saucer, apparently. And he said that there was, we were fascinated with outer space, and he said so sometimes we would talk about, well, what do you think life's going to be like in 2001? Do you think we'll have jetpacks and that sort of thing, which I think a lot of kids back then talked about. And he goes, yeah, but there's going to be an attack in New York City that Mothman told me about. And I was just skeptical. And he said, but I can show you, you can see the vision that he showed me if you stand in this particular spot in our yard. And he took me to that spot, and we stood there, and we held hands, and the minute he grabbed my hand, I saw this very short vision of tall buildings exploding.
Give us a time frame. When did he have this vision? How long ago?
It was in 1967. I had thought I had seen Mothman or something flying over our car right around Christmas 1966. Mothman was, or the Birdman, as they called it, was in the newspaper. And we had heard about it, and I was fascinated with it. And then one night I got this creepy feeling that somehow Mothman was going to visit me, and I saw a dark shadow flying over our car. It was dusk, and we were going to the bowling alley, and I said something to my dad. He got mad and mumbled something about the government. I think he thought I had seen a UFO, and maybe he worked at Carbide, and I often wonder if he didn't know something, like they were building something there, and he thought I had maybe seen that and was upset that people were being messed with or, you know, believing in extraterrestrials or whatever. But then sometime after that, Tommy started saying the Mothman was coming to visit him, and I just thought he was trying to one-up me. You know, like, since I had kind of seen something, I thought he was because he was very competitive. He was very smart. He was a genius, 170 on the genius scale. So that's one reason I didn't believe him. And then when I saw that vision, I was so frightened by it that we sort of fell out, had a falling out. And he moved away about a year later. He started thinking he was a vampire and a warlock, and he bit somebody on the neck. Which, strangely enough, I just heard a story about a guy last week who bit somebody in the neck in Texas, I believe.
Yeah. Too many vampire shows.
Yeah, well, nowadays, yeah, you don't know. There's so much of this junk in the media that
maybe they watched too many episodes of True Blood.
Yeah. Well, back then we didn't have any. I don't think we'd even seen Dracula, the movie. There was probably only, a couple of movies back then.
But the original Dracula movie came out in 1931 based on a Broadway play. That's the classic one with Bela Lugosi that everybody, of course, is made into an icon. The iconic accent and everything, and the appearance of Dracula dates from there.
Don't forget about Nosferatu, I think 1920-something, which is the original. Well, Andy, before we get too far into the show here, I'd really like you to kind of give our listeners a sense of what it was like growing up during the Mothman or Birdman flap, and you were right there in that region. Why don't you give us a little background on your involvement, where you lived in proximity to the events that were reported, and kind of give our listeners a sense of being a local in a place like that.
It was great, actually. I mean, I just thought this Birdman flying around was awesome, and I don't know, that's the inexplicable part of this. It's like, why did I feel like I had some connection to it, or that he was coming to visit? And then why, and then I have friends, and Harriet too, saying that they had seen it. And we have six people that saw Mothman in the same spot, and I lived in Mound, which is basically North Charleston, West Virginia, which Gray Barker mentions in Silver Bridge. It's a short drive, I guess about 45 minutes from Point Pleasant. You have to drive. It's on the Kanawha River, which is upriver from Point Pleasant. Point Pleasant is where the Kanawha River runs into the Ohio. And Mothman was first seen on the Elk River, which runs into the Kanawha in Charleston. And he was seen in Clendenin first, which is where the first Union Carbide petrochemical plant was located. And I think I have some pictures on my blog of the cemetery, although maybe I've just done that on Facebook. Facebook is a place where I do a lot of, one-off photos and things of stuff that's happening on a daily basis. So, but I am meaning to get some shots of that cemetery up on the blog. But it was a fascinating time, and my neighborhood was really, I think, the second hot spot. Most people are familiar with Point Pleasant, but this area that I lived in, called Woodward Drive, comes out at, it dumps out at the Kanawha River where the Blaine Island is, and that was I believe it was a bird effigy mound at one time, but it now has, a big chemical plant built over it. They mowed down the mounds and put up chemical plants, and it's a naval reservation, and Woodward Drive. So the mouth of Woodward Drive was once one of the most sacred Indian mound areas and oldest areas in the country. That river valley, the Kanawha, connects to the Elk River, but it connects to the New River, which is the oldest valley in North America. And I think it's only the second river other than the Nile that flows from south to north in the northern hemisphere. So it's a very old area. The Kanawha was once called the River of Death by the Indians, or there's other interpretations that it's where you pass into the afterlife. There were some Egyptian-type earthworks in Charleston as well, like big circles that would perfectly fit the Great Pyramid into them. There was one that was 666 feet around and one that was 555 feet around. There were lots of petroglyphs, large skeletons found in the mounds, some like 8 feet tall. It's possible that these were Egyptian-type tribes that maybe had come from Europe prior to the Indians. I cover a lot of that in the Mothman Photographer 3 book, which is more looking into the lore of the ancient lore and sort of mystical, spiritual aspects, the Thunderbird, Piazza Bird. The Birdman thing is found all over the world in different cultures. And it was just my feeling that, and the Garuda is another one, and Kiel, you know, subtitled the Mothman Prophecies with the Garuda, you know, that it was possibly the appearance of the feathery Garuda. So my feeling was, if you look at, perhaps by looking at these ancient legends, we can figure out more about what Mothman was. And he does, you know, those prophecies do seem to be Garuda-like in that they're ways to avert tragedy, fight crimes of different sorts, particularly those involving children. That site where we had that 911 vision was next to where a school had burned down and killed a couple of kids. And if that was an arson situation, then it could be a thing where Mothman wanted to sort of reveal, you know, what had happened, who had done it, perhaps.
I'll tell you what, Andrew, we'll pick up on this in our next segment. Andrew Colvin is our guest on the Paracast with Gene and Chris. The book is The Mothman Speaks, but there's a subtitle that takes about 3 years to read. I'm going to ask him to read that subtitle next because it says a lot. You're in the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack! Of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockaways. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike-anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the main name in military supply.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN or call 800-332-OPTICS, 800-332-6784.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extract. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to The Paracast.
The Paracast with Gene and Chris and Andrew Colvin, author of a book called The Mothman Speaks with a lengthy subtitle. Andrew, read the subtitle.
I'm glad I had a copy of the book here so I could read that, because I wouldn't have remembered it otherwise. It says, it's Candid Conversations Concerning Cosmic Conundrums, - Cryptic Creatures, Chimeras, Contactees, and the Cleverly Coded Coincidences and Correspondences of the Collective Unconscious.
A lot of C's there, Mr. Colvin.
Well, let me ask you a quick question, though, which I think is more to the point here. We have the book The Mothman Prophecies. We have the book The Silver Bridge. Going from one to the other, what do they fail to tell us? Are they misleading? Now, The Silver Bridge we don't take literally. It's a parable, I guess, about the Mothman. Is that correct?
Yeah, obviously, Barker is trying to get into the mindset of different players that may have been there. There's the recorder, the sort of a, I don't know if he's a spy or what, but you know, there's a couple of chapters where he pretends to be Mothman and tries to get in the head of Mothman, and he tries to understand the feelings of a young boy who is experiencing strange things involving Mothman. He talks about some of the different weird men in black, what they may have been up to. Yeah, it's definitely a parable. He talks about Ingrid Cold flying around in a saucer, and I was very skeptical of that at first, until then, you know, more recently we found out more about the Nazi UFOs, and maybe it's possible that they actually, you know, were building these, newer versions in the TNT area, and maybe, you know, there really was somebody flying around in a, some kind of drone craft. And it sort of seems like the UFO field is, that was what the cover-up was all about. You know, it's not that they're going to disclose aliens. It's that they're, you know, they didn't want to disclose that they had some good technology that could be developed like the drones that we're seeing today. And the Men in Black seem to be guys who were trying to keep that under wraps. Keel mentions that if you were an ET thesis person, you were much safer. You probably wouldn't be visited by the Men in Black, but if you thought they were terrestrial, then you definitely would be targeted. So I think that says a lot about.
So, okay, the Men in Black are based on what you expect them to be?
No, they just seemed like they were. Their job was to keep this drone development under wraps, and anybody that inadvertently saw one who wasn't supposed to see one, because some of those contactees were set up to sort of present a controlled version, I think, of what was happening.
But set up by whom?
If you're not a designated contactee and you had something to say that might blow the cover, then they would come after you, photograph your house, give you intimidating phone calls, tamper with your mail, and in some cases kill you, because that was in the late 60s, that was what, you know, that's, if you look at those old Saucer News articles, you'll see that a lot of people were terrified of being murdered by the Men in Black.
Well, okay, so the word set up, does that mean the government is setting up people to have UFO sightings or contacts?
Yeah, I think we have some cases, like Howard Menger eventually came out and said that.
Yes. Now, I know about this one, ladies and gentlemen, because when Howard Menger actually first kind of backtracked on his contacts, he made an appearance on a Long John Nebel TV show. This was a short-lived program. Long John never translated to TV. I thought he was pretty good at it, but he never translated to TV. He was great on radio. So Menger comes on one time, and he's kind of saying, well, you know, maybe I was being misled here or something. I think Long John flipped. And then not long thereafter, Menger and I and Jim Moseley had lunch at a diner in New York City. And he said he thought that he was the victim of government agents who made him think he was being contacted by E.T. Some suggest the same thing might have been true with George Adamski. Others saying that George Adamski was a disinformation agent, that somehow he was using his contacts for what? So you follow, you think that Menger may have been the victim of this disinformation?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically what he said. He kind of said he went along with it, that they had told him to conflate, you know, make the story a little more wild, you know, say that he went to Venus or whatever. Yeah, it's very difficult to ascertain how the different ways they were messing with people. They're very cagey, and but yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of cases where it looks like these contactees, you know, maybe it started out where they were, you know, just, they thought they'd been visited. And I think that was the case with Woody Derenberger, who's our famous contactee from West Virginia, who met Indrid Cold, who everyone assumed was a spaceman, but, you know, was actually more like a Man in Black. And Woody's book, Visitors from Langlois, he basically comes out and says that he thinks Indrid was just another Man in Black. And then we found just in the past few months that guys like Fred Crisman were checking out Derenberger, and Crisman, you know, was involved in the Maury Island incident. And
maybe the Kennedy assassination.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Now, something interesting occurring from what you're saying there. We had on Nick Redfern on our show some months back, and he was recounting the experience of Orfeo Angelucci, one of the traditional old-time contactees, where supposedly he meets up with somebody in a diner and then takes a drug, maybe in a hallucinogenic drug. I don't know. But it seemed like these people were rather naive. But this all seemed to happen, what, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, but not today?
Well, I don't know. You know, there's more recent. There was a lot in the 90s. Tons of different Bud Hopkins-style cases. That
you raise the specter there, UFO abductions. Now, I once made a suggestion a long time ago, and I was shot down over and over again. And I understand why, because the person involved, one of the people involved in this case, was somebody I had met and I really liked. Barney and Betty Hill. Now, Barney and Betty Hill live near a military base in New Hampshire. Okay? They have this UFO sighting that ends up being some sort of abduction, and everything around it seems genuine. It wasn't a UFO investigator hypnotizing them. It was a mental health practitioner, professional, doing it. Okay, couldn't figure out what was going on. And I just wondered offhanded, what if the Air Force, NSA, military authorities, whoever, decided to see how people would react if they were abducted by aliens? So they chose this couple, an interracial couple, because they'd already been undergoing those pressures living in the 60s when the racial environment was very different than it is today. And it wasn't as accepted then. What if they staged that incident? It was all done with drugs and hypnosis. It wasn't real. I don't know. What do you think about things like that? Do you think some of these abductions represent disinformation?
Absolutely, and I think the Hills were dealt with in that way, because I believe Barney first said that he thought the abductors had on Nazi-style uniforms, and then they're hypnotized by an Army psychiatrist who's the head of a facility. So why is the head of an Army hospital working on them? That's kind of odd. And I forget the source, may have been Friedman, who said that the doctor induced amnesia in them to forget the key points of their abduction, and as if that was a good thing, you know, like that he was helping them. But, you know, maybe he was just trying to get them to forget that these were terrestrial men in black, and replace that with, you know, the aliens and the star map and everything else. It could be actually that the star map was some kind of spy code that, and Betty was being used as a courier unwittingly. There's a lot to that case.
And the star map, Andrew, bothers me a lot. And we can go into that in our next segment, and then we'll go back and see how that dovetails with Mothman and all that other stuff. Andrew Colvin joining us with Gene and Chris. You're listening to
The Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.